Hello, and welcome to the Anatomy Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Hillary, and today my guest is Olivia Raines. Welcome back to the show, Olivia. I'm so happy you're here again.
Thanks, Hillary. Me too. I'm really excited.
Me too. So this episode is going to be just a fun, casual episode about sleep talking and weird sleep stuff like dreams. I should preface it by saying that neither one of us are neurologists or sleep experts or anything. We're just two anatomy nerds that happen to know a heck of a lot about the body and are gonna nerd out about it. So we're talking about sleep talking today, and the medical term for sleep talking is somniloquy, which is a really cool word. I love that word. I think it sounds so neat.
That'd make a cool band name.
Oh, that'd be such a dope band name. I love it. What kind of music would they play?
Punk. All girl punk band.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm about that. I'm about that. We would be their number one fans. We'd fangirl out so hard on somebody. Or maybe it's our band.
I love that.
Yeah, that's it. So sleep talking is the act of speaking during sleep, as you could probably figure out, right? It is a type of parasomnia, which is an abnormal behavior that takes place during sleep. It's a very common occurrence and is not usually considered a medical problem, which, thank goodness, right? I talk in my sleep all the time, so I'm glad that it's not a problem. So in order to describe when and how somniloquy occurs, we kind of should probably describe and understand the stages of sleep and what is going on during those stages. So I referenced the National Sleep Foundation and a few other articles to gather information on the four stages of sleep. So stages 1 to 3 are what's considered the non-rapid eye movement. So everyone's heard of REM, right? The sleep and the band. But NREM is non-rapid eye movement. So it's just the steps of sleep before you get to REM. It's also known as quiet sleep. Stage 4 is the rapid eye movement stage of sleep, so REM sleep. It is also known as active sleep or paradoxical sleep. Paradoxical. Just loving all these words. Just loving the lingo of this topic. It's really fun. So each phase has a unique function and role in maintaining your brain's overall cognitive performance. The entire sleep cycle repeats itself several times a night, with every successive REM stage increasing in duration and depth of sleep. So another thing that I kind of found, I read in another article, is that the different stages go in different orders, and you go back into stage 2 more often than the other stages, which I thought was really kind of interesting. Like with them being named stages, don't you think you would go stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, and stage 4, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, wow. And stage 4.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
It's that's not the case. Isn't that neat? Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So let's dive into the stages. So NREM stage 1 is the first stage of the sleep cycle, and it is the transition period between your wakefulness and sleep. So you're lying in bed, and your eyes are open, and then you finally close your eyes, and you're going into sleep. So during stage 1 in your sleep, your brain slows down, and your heartbeat and your eye movements and your breathing also slows down too. But not at a level that's dangerous, right? Nothing that's going to be bad for your health. It's not like your heartbeat's going to stop. It's just slowing down. Your body begins to relax, and your muscles may start to twitch. God, Olivia, does that happen to you? Does your muscles twitch?
I don't know.
It happens to me all the time. I guess maybe not all the time, but it has happened, and it just is the weirdest thing. I'll be laying in bed, and I'm starting to go to sleep, and then, my leg will just, bam, jerk, like this humongous twitch.
Oh, my gosh.
That never happens to you?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my husband does it, too. He'll be twitching as he's falling asleep.
Oh, and making pee my up. Gosh.
Yeah, apparently it's really common. It's a weird thing.
That's crazy.
Anyways, yeah, right? I think so, too. But, yeah, back to non-REM stage 1. So it lasts for around 5 to 10 minutes. And at this time, the brain is still fairly active and producing high-amplitude theta waves, which are slow brain waves occurring mostly in the frontal lobe of the brain. So that's right in the front there, guys. Right, we kind of think of your forehead. Right behind your forehead is your frontal lobe. Then we have non-rapid eye movement, stage two. So you spend approximately 50% of your total sleep time during stage two, which is kind of what I was describing earlier, how you kind of like bounce back into stage two, and then maybe you go back to stage three or stage four and all that stuff. So it's pretty interesting. And during stage two, you become less aware of your surroundings. Your body temperature drops, your eye movement stops, your breathing and your heart rate become more regular, and your brain also begins to produce bursts of rapid, rhythmic brainwave activity, which are known as sleep spindles. They are thought to be a feature of memory consolidation when your brain gathers, processes, and filters new memories you acquired the previous day. So then we move on to NREM stage three. And this is when your deep, slow brainwaves, known as delta waves, begin to emerge. This is also known as delta sleep. And this is a period of deep sleep where any noises or activity in the environment may fail to wake you up. Getting enough NREM stage three allows you to feel refreshed the next day. So during NREM stage three sleep, your muscles are completely relaxed. No more twitches. Your blood pressure drops and your breathing slows. And then you progress into your deepest sleep. So this is the stage of sleep where your body sleeps talk the most, which is interesting. So like there were a couple articles that described that it happens a lot in REM sleep. And then there's a couple of articles that describe that it happens mostly in stage three. But again, I'm not a sleep scientist. I'm not a sleep expert. I'm not a neurologist. But I think that it would kind of make the most sense to me that it would happen during this time, because like you're most relaxed, and then like that your brain is just able to like go, right?
But that's so interesting because your muscles are supposed to be completely relaxed, but you're using facial muscles to talk, or you know your tongue and some parts of your mouth. So it's kind of weird.
That is kind of weird, and that's a really good point, Olivia.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah, so then maybe it is more during REM sleep. I don't know. It's such an interesting thing. Like,
and not everybody.
We obviously need
talks.
To study it more, I think. I know, which is the weirdest thing. It's so bizarre. So then the final stage is REM sleep. And like I said, this is the stage where, you know, some articles and some professionals have described that this is where sleep talking happens the most. It's kind of funny, right? Okay, the last stage of sleep is REM sleep. While your brain is aroused with mental activities during the REM sleep, your voluntary muscles become immobilized. So that's so weird that it can happen, like you just mentioned, right? Like, so we have a source saying that your voluntary muscles become immobilized, but you're talking, right? You're moving your muscles of facial expression. So it's so interesting.
I wonder if it's the same stage as when people do sleepwalking.
Oh my goodness, right?
I don't know. Like you said, that's beyond what I know. That's a lot.
Yeah, totally. That's a lot. But yeah, I mean, and you hear stories of individuals sleepwalking. It's like, how are they doing all of these things? They're not just sleepwalking, too. They're like going into the kitchen and they're opening up the refrigerator. That requires some pretty significant coordination. And they're getting a midnight snack. It's like, who devoured the rest of the cheesecake last night, guys? Like, oh, yeah, sorry, that was me. I was sleepwalking. Like, it's so crazy. But yeah, so a little bit more details about REM sleep. It's the stage that your body's activity most closely resembles its activity during waking hours. However, your body is temporarily paralyzed, which is a good thing, as it prevents you from acting out your dreams. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, I was about to say. Sometimes.
REM sleep begins approximately 90 minutes after falling asleep, and at this time, your brain lights up with activity. Your brain is relaxed and immobilized, and your breathing is faster and irregular. Your eyes move more rapidly and you dream, which is something that we're also going to dive into a little bit here. But first, okay, let's talk about sleep talking. So you sleep talk too, right?
Yes. And I have a weird history with my mom. I wonder if it's like genetic or if it's mostly just
females. That's a good
females
question too, right?
But my mom used to talk in her sleep, and my dad told us a weird story how he woke up to her talking to someone in another language that she didn't even know.
Oh my goodness. So, do we know what language it was?
Well, he said it sounded Native American Indian. So,
oh wow,
we do have family lineage like way back, but like I mean, how do you explain that, right?
I know, right? That's just so wild. Like, you know, during her waking stage, like her normal everyday life, she's not, you know, using that language, or does she even know that language?
No.
Okay, so then like in her sleep, she just like taps into this like wild knowledge of this language, and it's just going away.
I wonder if that's something, because our olfactory can actually carry DNA from our ancestors. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, I had not heard that until I watched some documentary show recently, and like, if I wonder if our olfactory can carry the DNA from our ancestors, so certain smells may invoke things that we don't know why, but what if dreams too? Like, I mean, I don't know. Is there DNA that carried that knowledge of a language and then the brain's tapping into it when you're asleep?
Dude, I don't know. Right?
What about you?
There's so much. What about me? Like the
like talking, like, have you had like this? Conversations or like, do you know or remember, or does your husband tell you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. So the I think the strangest thing for me, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this episode, and then like, you know, I posted about it and you were like, oh my God, we should do this topic. Or I think I said, we should do this topic.
Yes.
You expressed that you're very interested in sleep talking as well. But one of the things that just fascinates me the most is, so I do talk in my sleep and pretty regularly too, but when I was pregnant with my son, I talked in my sleep almost every night.
Whoa.
And, you know, and then I gave birth and I kind of stopped talking in my sleep. So it was just really weird. And I was, you know, I was kind of thinking, okay, like maybe it had something to do with like how well I, because I slept like a rock when I was pregnant. Oh, I don't know why. Nice. But it was like the best sleep I've ever had in my life. And it was only 9 months of it.
Psych.
Yeah, right. But I was wondering if like, okay, so maybe because it was such great sleep, I was able to get into REM sleep more than normal. And that's, you know, stage three and stage four REM sleep is like when sleep talking happens the most. Like maybe I was just in those stages longer when I was pregnant because I was just getting better sleep. I have no idea. But
wow.
I would say just the weirdest things. Yeah. Like, my husband was telling me that I was talking about like a sweet pea casserole, which is like not surprising at all because like I'm such a casserole nut. Like all I ever want to eat is casseroles. Yeah, ridiculous.
I've had dreams where I'll maybe only remember the very end, tail end of it or a part of it, but I wake up laughing. And
and
it's just like the most hilarious thing to you. But then someone asks you like, well, what happened? And then you're like, never mind, it doesn't sound as funny anymore. But when I was in the dream, it was so funny.
Oh, I have totally woken myself laughing before, and it's just ridiculous. Yeah,
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so funny when you actually wake up during sleep from like doing something, like whether it's from kicking and you're like, why did I just kick?
Oh,
what is going on? Or if it's from talking. I have absolutely woken myself up sleep talking. But then I think the weirdest thing is laughing, because then you're like, why is that so funny? Like, I'm kind of just tired. I really just want to sleep, but I just woke myself up laughing at the dumbest thing.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, the other weird thing that I said the other night, I'm not pregnant, but I was sleep talking the other night, and I woke myself up saying, I need a book and a steak. And that's all I said.
You should totally keep a journal, and like when you, because I've been thinking about this recently too, like how I wished I had kept a dream journal.
Oh, totally.
Any kind of sleep journal, and then you should like write down all the funny things you say and ask your husband
if he
has heard any funny things, and just keep and put a little note and a date and time.
Just like
that'd
jot
be hilarious.
It down. Yeah.
Think totally. How cute of a book that would be.
I'm just this like little character in bed, like saying all this weird stuff. I love it. This might have to happen.
I love that.
Like a cute little like informative
little skeleton
book. Yeah, like a little skeleton dude just like talking about sleep talking.
I love it.
Oh my god, so dorky. It's the best. Okay, what else do you remember saying in your dream or in your sleep?
I think it's unfortunate because since I'm alone most of the time, I don't really know. I have just been told, like, I know my weird stuff in dreams is more moving, and I know I talk in my sleep because I've been told that, but I don't. But recently, I mean, since my boyfriend's not living here yet, and so I have no idea. But when we're together, there's times I wake up all the time from either a bad dream, or I'll wake up crying and have no idea, or moving, and you know, stuff like that. But
totally,
I don't know of any specific funny. I wish I did, but I have more like weird stories about like unexplainable stuff with dreams. Like, how do you? Kind of like my mom saying that, totally. You know, speaking another language in her dream, or, you know, like, what the heck, you know, that kind of stuff. Like,
Well, and maybe you don't remember because, like, I was reading this other article on PubMed that said about half of recorded sleep talking was incomprehensible. So it's just like mumbles or like silent speech. Like, they're like, you're moving your lips, but you're not actually saying anything. Like, there's no noise. Or it just gets like muffled by pillows or blankets.
I do have a friend. This is a weird story. And I mean,
tell.
Okay. So I was living in this house with like three or four other people, and this one couple, this house kind of had a creepy vibe anyway.
And was it haunted?
It's very old. Yeah. I was like from the, well, not very old, but like, I think it's from like the 50s, 40s or 50s. It had a vibe, and there was some stuff that happened a lot, and it was strange, but the one thing that was the weirdest to me was, so this couple were very non-religious, very, everything's explainable kind of people, and so the guy woke up, he was freaked out by this. The next day, he's like, I was talking to her, or we were sleeping, and I woke up to her talking. And it confused me because I was waking up and like, why is she talking to me? And so he said, I rolled over, and it's kind of like my mom's story. She was talking in this weird language he'd never heard or anything. It was very bizarre. And, but he said the weirdest part was, that her eyes were opening, but you could tell it was like, she wasn't there. Weird. And he was waving his hand in front of her. And it freaked him out because he was like, he doesn't believe in any weird ghosty stuff or anything like that. So to him, it really freaked him out, because then she also, it had another night. It was a few times it reoccurred. And like, he was in the bathroom and she walked or whatever you say it, and went to knock on the door to get his attention. He's like, I'm in the bathroom or whatever. So she went back to bed. But then when he got out and then went into bed the next day, she's like, I didn't do that. I don't remember doing that at all. So I guess she either slept walk or, so I don't know if like, it was a pretty weird, and nothing like that ever that happened weird. Anywhere that else weird. That they lived.
Especially the eye part, right? Like where her eyes opened up, like she must have been in REM, right? Like, cause I think the rapid eye movement, like it's not just your eyeballs that are, you know, rapidly moving. I think it can also be like your eyelids blinking pretty fiercely,
so too,
like, quickly. So like maybe her REM at that moment was just her eyes, like her eyelids activated and like opened up, which is terrifying.
Oh my gosh, that is so weird. I have seen like animals do that. Where they'll be like, you know, dozing off, like, and their eye, and you're like, what's going on? Waving your hand in front of them, but like they don't move. So I wonder if
their
eyes
are open. Something like that. Yeah. I know. Sleep is so weird.
Sleep is super weird. And what do like people really understand? Like, we don't, like you said, we know the connections with the brain and the sleep, like the different stages, but I mean, there's just so many weird, unexplainable things. Like,
and there is. So, like, I was reading articles about it and like just trying to, you know, prepare and get this episode together, and we have studied it and we do know a lot about, you know like the sleep stages and, you know, what happens and the purpose of sleeping and all of that stuff, but like there's still so much that we don't know, especially about dreams. So I think that's what's like really interesting. Yeah. Like,
yeah, that's me too. I feel the same. Like, how do you, yeah. I know we were talking about this prior and mm-hmm. I was sharing some stuff with you that like still baffles me today. Like, okay. Yeah. So if dreams are built on memories and things that happened prior, and then our brain pulls those and makes a story out of it or makes a weird thing. But like, how do you explain stuff if you've never seen them or experienced them before and they're in your dream?
Right.
Like, I was a kid with having these weird dreams. Like, I had no experience or visual memory of any sort connected to it. So how do you explain that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's what really amazes and freaks me out.
Yeah, totally. I can't remember the guy. There's a, there is actually a neurologist on Instagram that I follow, and he just did a post about this actually, about how, and he mentioned that exact same thing. He's like, we know about dreams, we know about all of this, but, we don't know much about how we can just like create these like, images in our head. Like, it's our imagination, right? Like things that you've never seen before, never heard of before. Like you just like create these brand new things in your dreams, right? Like, I don't even know how to say that, but he was explaining, like, we don't really know how our imagination can be so active during sleep. And it's just so wild. Cause it's like, it makes sense that like, you know, you dream about, you know, stuff that you've seen and stuff that you've experienced and stuff that you've felt before, right? Like that obviously makes sense. But like when you dream about like a person that you've never met before, and like, yeah. They can very clearly see their face, and they are definitely a stranger, and it's just like, what? Like, where did you get that brain? It's so wild to me.
My theory is that we don't even have the full story, picture, whatever you want to say about how our brains carry. I think it's possible we carry the DNA from. You know what? I don't know. Who knows? Because
I know. Well, because it's not, okay, so this is, like, the weird part of science, right? Like, the science is very careful about, like, speculative kind of stuff, right? Like, your anecdotal stuff, your pseudoscience stuff, right? Which I think is important, right? Like, it's, yeah. There definitely needs to be a separation between science and pseudoscience. Like, what do we actually know that is factual about sleep, and what can we speculate about sleep? But dreams are that weird spot, right? Like, they're not really studied enough. We don't really know as much as I feel like we should, right?
You can't see them.
One, you can't really study them either.
I wish there was, like...
So it's just this, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just this, like, weird gray area that we don't really get to dive into, you know?
Yeah.
It's a funny one. And so, like, maybe these thoughts and ideas and theories of, like, well, you know, maybe... I don't know, something that, like, you were going to say about, like, how, you know, there's just so much, like, I don't know.
So much unexplained. It's just, you know,
I think that's what it is. There's just so much that's unexplained, and when things aren't explained, it leads to people questioning things and, like, kind of maybe coming up with their own answers, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's very normal of human psyche to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because what else do we have? It makes me think of this... this guy who I've been following on Instagram, he's he explores abandoned places in Nashville, but now he's going to start touring. He's a musician by day. I can't remember. He's really, really cool. He's a drummer guy, but he goes and explores these abandoned houses and hospitals and stuff. Some crazy stuff, okay?
Whoa.
But he talks about how... Because everyone's, all the most common questions are, what happens when, I mean, are you scared about paranormal stuff? Or are you just, you know, what do you feel like when you go into these? Are any of them haunted? And he's like, you know, I was scared at first because not of that, but because of, you know, squatters, people who could be living there or staying there and maybe come out and attack me because I'm entering where they're squatting. But he said, but, you know, yeah, you kind of get creeped out at first, but your brain... It's filling in gaps, like, because you don't have a visual capability to see if there's a ghost there or whatever. So your brain will start to trick you and make you get scared because it's an instinct of our bodies to protect ourselves, you know, to get out, right?
Oh,
you know, it's safety,
interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
And
yeah.
I forget what part of it, like, the brain does that, but it's like a you know, the fight or flight thing. Like, you're scared, so you want to protect your body, your life, so, you know. But he said... Once I trained my brain like, if I hear stuff like that, well, I'm looking around at this place, it's been abandoned for 50 years or 100 years. Structures are moving constantly, and houses, and even if, especially if you're not living in them. So he's like, I just had to train my brain to think, okay, I heard something upstairs. It's probably the floor, or it's probably the structure moving. It's not a ghost. Yeah. It's not this. And he said the more he did that,
you have to, like,
the
remind
less...
yourself that, like, there's, like, these things are normal. And
it's pretty interesting.
Probably an explanation to it. Yeah.
But, you know, the same thing about dreaming. Like, I've heard of people talk about controlling their dreams. I haven't tried.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't gotten
into that. But I can, when I was a kid, I could do things like, I would have these dreams where. And up into my 20s, and I would have dreams where I was, like, outside in my yard, you know, before I moved out to my parents, and I just started floating off the ground, and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm floating off the ground. What's going on here? And then
I'm flying.
I'm like, I'm going to try to fly, and then I'd start flying, and then I loved it. I fell in love with it. Like, let's do it again the next night. So I would keep trying, and I did that for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I think about things like that and how we can control that, and they don't even know anything about that either.
I know, we know
how do we control some and not others.
So you're, like, not the first person to express that to me. Like, I've one of my really close friends was telling me that we were actually just talking about this the other day. She was telling me about how she used to practice flying in her sleep. Like,
I love it.
And she would try and, like, it's just, like, she would, like, try and, like, stay in that, like, sleep, in that moment, in that sleep. And she, like, there were times where she wasn't able to, and, like, she's, you know, it, like, she would either go to another dream or go to another whatever. Like, you know, it would just kind of turn off, I guess. I don't really know. Probably just going into a different stage of sleep. But she would try and keep, like, practice her flying in her sleep. Like, and I've heard of other people saying that. Like, it's just, it is... There's obviously something there if a ton of people are expressing that they've experienced it, right? Like, it's not just something that people are making up.
It makes me think about about a year ago, of course, when all the pandemic stuff started getting really bad. And me and my friends, a lot of us, you know, probably a few months in, started having COVID dreams, COVID nightmares is what I call it. And I started asking friends about it, and they're like, you know, yeah, me too. I have these dreams. And they start talking about it. I'm like, yeah, that's like mine too. And then I went online and found, I forget if it was through NPR or where it was, but there was this lady who was interviewed about it, and she started a whole website about it so people could write in their COVID dreams. And basically it's a blog. That sounds funny, but it was just like a log of anybody who wanted to type in their dream. You go and you could just input it in, and it would put it into her her blog about it, and you could read other people's dreams too, and it was all kind of similar. It was very interesting, and I thought, okay,
that is fascinating.
I like to think anything like these kinds of things that we're talking about, I always like to think, how is it connected to science? How is it, like, logical or explained?
I love that you think like that, girl.
Fascinating because, okay, I was just telling my boyfriend about this. We were talking about this the other night. Like, I believe. Okay, if someone's not spiritual, and I feel like I'm spiritual, but I also feel like it is connected to science, and this is why, because there's studies like, and again, it is sort of pseudoscience, I guess, but there's still studies that show we carry energy, we project energy without even realizing. It's the same thing as, like, if you're around someone that's had a great day, or you're around someone happy all the time, you kind of start
It's physics.
Sharing. Yeah, it's physics, right? And there was this one study they did on a neighborhood block. I think it was like 4 or 5 houses of families. And I forget exactly how they did it, but it was something like they knew they were all going to be participating in it, but they didn't know exactly what it was about. They just agreed that they could ask them questions every week. That was really it. But really what was happening was they were logging. If something good happened in one household and the family was happy, about a day or so later, the next house closest to them would also then be happier and better. And it trailed down these houses in this block corner, and it patterned each other. But something bad happened, same thing would happen. Which tells, it kind of reminds me, have you ever looked at the Japanese pseudoscience guy who, Dr. Emoto, that studied the water drops and stuff, and he kind of did a similar study where he put drops of water under the microscope in different temperatures, and he would do one load of of the dish, petri dish little slides, and he would bless them with good words and positive affirmations.
Oh, yeah. I think
and
I've
it would turn these beautiful snowflakes. And then the others, if you said bad things, it would be bright. But you think about our bodies being, you know, mostly water, and what does that do to us?
About plants, right? Like, there's been that experiment about plants. Like, you know, somebody was trash talking their plants, and then somebody else was talking like really kind words to their plants. And the plants that got like all the like the kind love, like they did really great. And then
and what if it's even
plants that were trash talked, like died or whatever? Yeah.
But if it's really. You know, it's, and I think if it's you know, some people talk about vibrations and you know, energy planes, like that to me is connected to dreams too in our bodies, because if you know which is why I feel like it's all connected, because if we can tap into understanding what that vibration is behind those words, because it can be in any language, right? You could say it in a made up language, but I think the intention is the energy put that we're projecting, the energy from ourselves. So it makes me think, like, in dreams, you know, typically they'll say when you look up a dream and you're like, why did I dream about, you know, walking into a room full of crickets? Or why did I dream, you know, whatever. And then you look it up and people look for messages and stuff. And really, like, you know, I think there is some
I know. Like, how are there these, like, you know, explanations for dreams? Like, so I've, like, explained my dreams to people, and so many people have been like, oh, you should get a dream book. And I'm like, what? No book is going to be able to explain, like, my very specific psyche. Like,
and it depends on the culture, too, because different cultures have different meanings behind them, too. Like,
for different things. Totally.
Yeah. One of them could be, like, the same thing to me as when I think about the Zodiac stuff, okay? Like, you know, you'll say something like, oh, well, this happened, and then they'll say, oh, that's a bad omen. But then, unless it means this, which is a good thing. Well, it's like the same thing in, like, Zodiac. It's like, I'm a Taurus. My boyfriend's a Taurus. We're completely opposite in how our personalities are.
Yeah.
So totally. How do you explain, I read the same horoscope as him. It doesn't apply to him, but it applies to me now. But the next month it applies to him and not. You know, there's all these, like, speculations, and I feel like, it's like in a new year specific. Well,
that's kind of why, like, pseudoscience does get a bad rap, because it's not science, right? It isn't that, like, exact explanation. It isn't, you know, studied and restudied and getting the results and then the same results and all that stuff. It's like, it's the explanation that we have when we don't have an explanation.
That's the perfect way to say it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I guess I'm here to say, like, I don't fault people for trying to find those explanations. We are curious human beings. And I think oftentimes we do try our best to get to, like, the real explanation, the real facts of things, the science of it all. But when science fails to explain itself, then we're like, okay, well, cool. I think it's this crazy thing over here, you know? Like, I think that's just so very normal human psyche. So, I don't know.
I wish that in our lifetime it would come out that, you know, this untapped energy playing field happens when we dream. Because I believe it's possible. And I mean, maybe I think it's possible because we don't know it's not possible. But exactly. I feel like there is also a way that we can tap into maybe other dimensions or something. Or spiritual planes. I don't know. I'll tell you one dream I had. How do you explain this? Okay. I was in third grade. I was a kid. Third grade.
Yeah.
And I had this very vivid dream about the next day at school. It was like the whole day, basically. I dreamt about the whole day the next day. And about finding out this one friend I had made was going to move, and all these things happened. But it was also kind of just a normal day at school. But I dreamt the whole day. Yeah. So when I woke up, I was just like, that was weird. You know, little kid. But then as soon as my mom starts to take my sister and I to school, I start having, like, this weird, certain things she said, I was like, I had a memory of that. And I was like, that's weird. Well, whatever, you know, like, maybe, like, that's deja vu or something. But then I get to school, every single thing happened exactly like the dream.
Oh my God. That's
every single
wild.
Thing, the whole day, the that's friend so saying weird. She was moving, all of these things. So then, of course, I'm a little kid. I come home. I'm freaked out because I was third grade. I don't know how old that is.
I predicted the future.
What was I, like, 8 years old or something? Or how old is that? I don't know.
Third grade? I think you're 8. Yeah.
Something like that. That's pretty young. And of course, I come home and I tell my mom, like, this is so weird. Everything happened. oh, you know, the pat on the head, like, uh-huh, honey, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But really, uh-huh. No, I've never forgotten that. How do you explain that? Yeah. Huh? Another thing I really like about dreams is that, so when my meemaw died, I was really close to my meemaw, my mom's mom, and she was hilarious. Anyway, like, so in this dream, so I did get to go to her funeral, but I wasn't there when she passed, and a lot of my family was, and I can't remember what happened, but yeah. I couldn't be there, and I was really bummed about that. But I think it was within like a week. It was 3 to 5 days after her funeral, and I have this very vivid dream. I can still see it in my head, but I was back at her old house, and I was with my mom and my sister, and we're all hanging out in the living room like we always did, and she would turn on her little AC unit in that room because it was an old house, and she had an AC unit in every room, you know, so she just shut all of them off except for one room, and you close all the doors to conserve.
Totally, totally. Isn't that the funny little things that we remember about people? Like...
I'll so never funny. Forget because my meemaw would be like, don't you leave those doors open whenever we were kids, you know, so it was very in my head. And I had to go to the bathroom, so I get up to go to the bathroom, but I open the one door to go into the hallway to go to the bathroom, but I passed the bedroom on the right, which is where my mom grew up and was living in that, you know, room. Uh-huh. But I pass by and I see out of the corner of my eye, I see somebody sitting on the bed. And then I look again, and it's my meemaw. But the weird twist is, she was very young looking. I had never even seen a photo of her. I never even seen a photo of her looking like this. And but I knew it was her. And I said, hey, what are you doing here? And she's like laughing. She's like, I just thought I would just say hi and just pop in. And I said, oh my God. So I sat on the bed and started talking to her. What's it like there? Are you having fun? She's like, oh, I'm having a blast. It's like a party, and I get to see all the rest of the family and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Was she talking about the past life? Or the...
She was talking about her. So she had a son, and she had, other people there that she's like, yeah, we're having a great time. I just love it. I love it. I'm just having so much fun. And I was like, I'm so glad.
Oh, my goodness.
That makes me happy to know. And I was like, so will you visit me again sometime? She's like, yeah, you know, I'll pop in. I'll be around. And I was like, she's like, you just let me know. And I was like, okay. And it was like, no big deal, right?
Oh, my God, how cute.
I told my mom, though, the next day, I said, I had this dream about Meemaw, and I tell her about that. I said, but, Mom, I've never seen her. Like, I don't... There are people that say when they've been visited by, you know, past relatives that they look how they wanted to look, so they may not actually look the way they did when they passed. I've heard this about ghosts. I love paranormal stuff, too. But I told my mom, I said, I've never seen her like this. I described her hair and everything. She said, well, gosh. Yeah. Well, Mother was, you know, 40 when she had me, so sounds like about the... Probably when she was 35 to 40 years old. I was like, well, I've never seen a photo of her.
Yeah.
But my mom said, that was her probably before. And I was like, how do you explain that? How could I have known that was her? It's just so weird. I just don't understand that about dreams.
I know. I don't understand it either. And, like, I wish we had the explanation, right? Like, I wish we had the, like, you know, wouldn't that be cool if this was, like, an episode on, like, the, you know, the scientific explanation of why, you know, things like that happen in dreams. Like, that would be dope, but we don't have those answers.
I don't think we will.
It's interesting. I don't think we will either.
I kind of like that, though. I mean, I think some things should be a mystery, I think, to some degree.
Yeah, I think maybe. I'm cool with that,
but too. I would like to know.
I mean, so, like, I think the scientist in me would like to know, and, like, I think I'll always turn... Yeah, I mean, I know that, like, you know, I always want the scientific answer first, but... There is just the weird things in life that we'll never have an answer to. And I think dreams may very well be one of those things. And that's totally fine.
Do you believe, like, in the plane drifting or whatever you call it? Like, that when you're in a certain state, you could maybe go into a different plane?
Probably not. No, I don't think so. But, like, I'm not going to shit on somebody who does believe that, right? Because, like, that is just kind of something that, like, we don't have an answer to, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just, so, like, this is another thing that I find really interesting in science, right? I could be talking about one thing and somebody else in pseudoscience could be describing another, but we're talking about the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just that, yeah. And so maybe there's this actual scientific or actual explanation for what you're describing, but then there's just like the disconnect between the different descriptions, right? Like, I don't know. So I think that that's kind of something that happens a lot, I feel. I don't know.
I know what I mean? Too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm so another thing about me is I'm just such a skeptic. Like, you tell me the sky is blue and I'm going to go outside and check. I'm going to be like, is it though? Like, oh yeah, it's blue. You know, but like, that's a shitty example, but like, I am such a skeptic. Like, I question everything. Like, I have doubts about everything. Like, I'm going to look for the truth in it via several different measures first before I'm like, yeah, okay, that actually is, you know, truth. Right. But that's just me, right? Like, that is simply just me. That's how I am.
I think that's smart though, because I mean, you're questioning things. I think that's very advanced thinking, because a lot of people unfortunately kind of follow just the first thing like they're told, and you know, like, yeah. Oh, it was a ghost. Oh, never mind. Something fell off a wall upstairs. You know, things like that. You know what totally. I mean? But like, it's true. Like, I think that we should, you know, think those ways.
Yeah.
I think also it's fun to think about the dream states and like, did I really see my Meemaw on a different plane? I don't know. Oh, maybe, totally. But maybe I didn't. Maybe my brain was able to do that.
It is fun. I think that like, it's very important to distinguish those different conversations. Like, this conversation is a more casual conversation. We're not, you know, giving a lecture on this in a class, like teaching individuals and like, you know, like this isn't,
it's not flying dream lessons. Like, we're going to teach you how to fly your dream.
Exactly. No, it's like there is the educational, serious, you know, conversation. And then, like, there's more casual conversations that, can, you know, like, yeah, they're science-based, but, like, they're, we can talk about the fun of things and, like, things that may or may not be super factual or whatever. Like, I think that that's fine. Like, acknowledging the two different conversations is totally fine, right?
And like, you know, like you were saying, how you can connect, or like, you're the type of person who will be like connecting, okay, what is that having to do with, you know, science or any kind of physiology? Like, what one interesting, like, I think this, if this was your kid, I think you would handle this. I love my mom, but I think you would have handled this perfectly. But when I was probably, I think I was in high school, and I had a lot of, I was always having bad dreams. And a lot of that has to do with, it's a long story, but you already know, because of my past with being, I grew up deaf. I was very struggling in school. I was really stressed all the time. But I started having these dreams very specifically in a certain amount of time where, this is all I was a kid, I was high school, so all I could tell my mom was, and my dad, like, I have these nightmares where I am paralyzed, and it's dark, and this demon's coming to get me, and as soon as they're trying to take me, I get paralyzed by the electrical current. It made no sense to say this, right, but all I could say is, I don't know how else to explain it, but as soon as I try to scream, it's like I can't scream or move, and it hurts to try to scream. And I just try to wake myself up to get out of it. Well, this kept reoccurring almost nightly. It was exhausting.
Was that another one of your lucid dreams? Like, were you aware of that? Like, were you like aware that you were dreaming?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, which made it more terrifying, because then I would know, I have to go to sleep and go through this again. Well, it turned out, like, after a couple of weeks, my mom's like, I'm going to take you to a doctor to figure this out. Because I was basically begging, like, I'm so tired, help me. You know, this is terrifying, too. So she takes me to, at first she took me to my ear doctor, because we didn't have a different one. But they were like, have you thought about maybe having her checked from a psychologist?
Oh, no.
I was like, I'm not crazy, okay? So then she took me to, let me think, my orthodontist. Because I was getting my teeth checked or something. I can't remember, but she said, oh, no, I'm sorry. She's taking to my doctor, who said, take her to an orthodontist. Yeah. She's like, really? He's like, I think it could be something with TMJ. So,
oh, interesting, interesting.
It turned out, and this doctor started asking me, tell me about these dreams you're having. And my mom was like, making these faces like, oh, here we go. But he's waving at her like, you know, just let me, let her say. And as I'm telling him what I just told you about these dreams, he was massaging my jaw just to feel, smashing around very softly. And he's like, okay, okay. And then you're paralyzed. I was like, yeah, I try to scream to wake up, and I can't scream. It hurts. It hurts when I scream. And that's when I feel the current going through my body. And he goes, I want you to feel this. And he had my hand, and he put it on my jaw. And there was, like, a knot, big knot. And he's like, are your teeth sore when you wake up? And I said, yeah, they are. He's like, I think you're grinding your teeth really bad. And I think that current you're feeling is actually you dreaming about you're grinding, and it's probably making the bones are making noises.
Oh, my God. Brilliant, so doctor.
Yes.
That makes so much sense.
And, of course, helped my mom keep from putting me in a psych ward. So
totally,
he had,
right?
You know, a custom mouthpiece made for me. I wore it to sleep. I am not joking. Like, the next day, you could see grooves in the bottoms of the...
Oh,
but
goodness.
I started sleeping better, and it was so much relief. And, you know, like, that to
me
is an interesting... That makes me think of, like, what you were saying, like, connecting the dots to... Mm-hmm. There's got to be an explanation. She's not crazy.
I agree with you, 1,000%. Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
There are those connections, and we just kind of need to figure it out, right? Like, and especially with, like, lucid dreams, right? Like, lucid dreams are kind of, like, the weirdest of the dreaming world, I feel. But, like, there are explanations, right? Like, I was reading this this article that, like, he calls himself a psychologist or physiologist. Anyways, he is a doctor in dream research, and he was explaining that, like, he uses, or he, like, helps patients utilize lucid dreaming to treat conditions like PTSD and nightmares and anxiety and all this stuff. Yeah, so it's, like, there's definitely a connection between, like, lucid dreaming and all of that stuff, and, like, you know, what's going on in your body or in your day-to-day and, like, in your psyche, right? Like, so it's like these things are being studied, and there is the knowledge out there. It's just like, I just don't think we've made all of the connections yet. I don't think we have all of the explanations yet, you know?
Imagine what we could do if we knew.
I know. Totally. I know.
Interesting. It's very, you know, sci-fi, you know?
Yeah, totally.
What could you do in your dreams? Could you do the things you fantasize about, but then you wouldn't feel guilty because it's not your waking life? It makes me think of what... But also, people take advantage of things like this, too. So it makes me think that,
you
know, someone goes postal on their boss or something in their dream and shoots them because they know they can, it's not real. Like, very Minority Report.
Totally.
Something like that.
Well, and then, like, the things that, like, we don't really have, like, a solid answer to, like, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be like, cool, I'm going to capitalize on that. Like, I'm going to sell you this crap. That happens a lot.
Totally.
In our society. Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Really, 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 really awful.
Have you ever had, one of the other things I wanted to ask you, like, what about dreams where, like, I've only had one, but, like, where everything is the same color? I mean, it's different shades, but it's all the same color.
I've heard of that. Yeah,
really?
When I was reading about dreams, that was one of the things that popped up. So apparently only like 10% of people dream in color. The majority of people sleep or dream in black and white or something like that. Yeah, isn't that a trip? Isn't that weird? It's like, and then another thing that happens is that, you know, you can like dream in one color.
It is
so
the
bizarre.
Weirdest thing. I had this one dream, and it was everything was different shades of blue. Just blue.
Oh God,
the whole dream was
so
blue.
So cool. That is so crazy.
Super weird. Oh, another creepy little connection too with that is there's this I don't know how to say it. It sounds so mean, but basically there was this kind of like this old lady / fortune teller looking.
Wait, real quick. I just looked back on the article. So it's around, it's like, so not everyone dreams in color. I had it backwards. So we don't all dream in color. 12% of people dream in black and white. So the majority of people dream in color.
Interesting.
Yeah. Had it backwards. Sorry, I had to fact check myself.
Fact check.
No, which is important. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, no, sorry to interrupt. What were you saying there, girl?
Oh, just a weird, like we were saying too, about how our brains, where they pull, like you said, the faces, or how do they know if they've never seen that person or whatever. And I was like, I've had two dreams with the same woman, like years apart. And one of them was the dream that was in all blues, and then another one was
so wild.
Oh, it was so creepy. I almost don't know if it, they were pretty. They both had to do with babies, which was really strange.
Oh God, I've had weird baby dreams too.
And like, I won't tell you the first one, but the second one that was in all blue was like this woman came back, and she always had the same outfit. She had this cloak with the hood. It was really weird. But she never spoke to me with her mouth. She spoke to me with her, like, thoughts. It was strange.
Oh, interesting.
It was very strange. Mm-hmm. And she basically told me I had a choice. And there was these three babies, three little babies on this ledge of a wall. And she said, you have to choose which one. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Okay.
Yes, that's so wild.
But each one looked completely different. And one looked like it wasn't going to live. And it was really tiny. It didn't look as strong. The other one was so-so. And then the third one was like a regular healthy baby. But I picked the weakest one. And that's the one I took. It was very strange. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. But it was the only dream I had that was in all one color, which was strange. But
yeah, that's bizarre. That is bizarre.
I think I told you too. Like, what about fun dreams? What about, like, have you had dreams where you just like have a blast? Like, I was telling you, like, when we were messaging about doing this, and I was like, I used to have these dreams where I would, like, I knew I was gonna, like, go and find a place pool hop. Like, I would find someone's pool and be like, oh, that's a cool pool, and go swimming, because I can't go in the water. And that's why I would just hop people's pools and just swim underwater and just enjoy
that. Your dreams are way cooler than mine. No, mine are, like, all just, like, the things that I'm stressing about.
You don't have any fun weird dreams?
No, I don't have a lot of fun dreams. I don't remember.
You're not making a casserole? You were talking about casseroles. That would be funny. You're like, and I wonder if, like, now that we're talking about it tonight, you're going to have a dream about making a casserole.
I know, totally. Well, so that does happen a lot, right? Like, if my husband and I are talking about something, like, right before I fall asleep, sometimes I'll dream about, like, what we were talking about right before I fall asleep. Just because it's, like, fresh in my head. Yeah. Mostly I dream about the stuff that I'm, like, anxious about or stressed about. Like, you know, first, you know, in school, it was, like, you know, I slept through my alarm and then I missed the test, right? Now, like, always before test days, like, I would have awful, awful dreams about, like, missing the test or failing the test or crying through the test or, like, all just terrible stuff like that. I think probably the weirdest dreams and okay, here's another thing that really baffles me about dreams. Why do we have reoccurring dreams, right?
Yes, like, those freak me out.
Totally freak me out, totally weird. Why does it happen? Like, let's not have reoccurring dreams, but... So in my 20s, when I was stressing out about, like, whether I wanted to have kids or not, I would have these really strange reoccurring dreams about these, like, little orbs that were, like, it was supposed to be a baby in these dreams. And, you know, one dream was I was, like, trying to hold and cradle this, like, little tiny orb in my hand, and I accidentally dropped it, and then I would scoot my chair. Yeah, really terrible stuff. I would scoot my chair back to try and get to the orb, but then I squished the orb, and it was just just awful, awful stuff. Yeah, it's like some really terrible orb dreams, you know, baby dreams, like always killing babies in my dreams, really, really awful, awful stuff. And, you know, when I think back on it, it was just me really, you know, stressing out about, like, the anxieties and concerns and the worries, and I guess just, what's the word I'm looking for? Insecurities about motherhood.
So you said just like the missing this alarm and being late to class, and like you were scared for that's something you genuinely care about. And I feel like if you're stressed about something, that's because you genuinely care about it. Like like when someone gets like a crazy cool idea and they're confident about it, I don't know if that they care. I don't really believe that they're really truly in it. But when someone's scared of that idea, you see how much they care. You know what I mean? So you really just that shows how much it's precious to you, you know?
Yeah. Oh, big time. Big time. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Talk about the reoccurring. How many times did you have those dreams?
Oh, Lord, girl.
A lot. Oh, my God. Until you had your baby?
Yeah, I had so many of them. So, I think finally when I, you know, when I, like, found peace in myself of, like, yes, I do want a kid, and yes, I will be a good mom, and yes, you know, all of those things. Like, I just kind of found peace in myself about all of that. That's kind of when the dreams stopped. But in my early 20s, when I, you know, for some reason was all hung up about it, yeah, I would have a lot of weird.
No, that makes sense. That's a really, that is a hard decision and thing to go through. So I can understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, it makes sense to me that, I mean, I know it's, well, and then you think about when you, like you said, when you're pregnant, you're talking to him in your sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Oh man. The sleep talking was so funny. That's honestly, that's my favorite thing is sleep talking. Like, dreams are cool and all, and they're, like, interesting. Like, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of sex dreams, and those are pretty great. but sleep talking to me is probably the most interesting, because it's, like, I just say the most random shit, and it doesn't correlate with
you
dreams.
You've got to start really writing those down. You should totally start writing those down. I really wished I had kept, a dream log or whatever. Like,
it's never too late to start. Do it.
Yeah. I have posted some of them on Facebook, years ago. And so you know how they'll do the Facebook memory. So some of those pop back up. And I'm like, oh, my God, I totally forgot about that.
Oh, my God, I did dream that.
So weird. Like, I had this one dream where I was riding this eight-legged horse. And I don't remember the whole dream, but it was super weird. It was very specific. And then my friend, I posted about it. And I was like, does anybody know what kind of, like creature that, like, is that, like, mythological
thing?
Is
that some mythical treacle? Yeah.
And then a friend of mine said, oh my God, that's the such and such god of whatever. It's like this whole story about this specific horse. I've never read anything about it. I don't know anything about it. But apparently that I found that very strange. And it was at a time, too, where I was
interesting.
I was in some transition period, too. Like, I was moving, and it was like all this big stuff was happening. So it kind of matched. It was very strange. But I'm like, how do you explain that? I've never read about this creature, this eight-legged horse.
Yeah, but, I mean, the psyche is so weird, right? The psyche is
I can tell you one reoccurring dream that might kind of freak you out a little. It freaks
I mean,
me
I
out.
Already went into my baby dreams, girl. You can, those are freaky, so let's hear yours. Like, tell.
Well, when I was, like, it started when I was pretty young. Like, I want to say it's right around the time I was moving out of my parents' house. I was like 20-something years ago. But through the years, it may be a year, maybe 2 years, but it'll come up again, but then a little bit more gets added to it. That's what I don't like, because it'll start off how it used to, and then a new piece happens. It's like a series.
And then it evolves.
Evolves. So the last one I had was about 2 years. Yeah, 2.5, 3 years ago. It involves an alien invasion.
Big sigh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Your imagination is amazing.
I hate it. And so it starts.
I love it. I love that you say you hate it, and I say I love it at the same time.
I think it's just like, I'm like, no, please don't, no. But, like, basically it's like, it just recently ended where it led up to this, like, why am I going into this town? Where is this city? I don't know. And then I'm like, okay. And then it ends. And then the next one, why am I in this weird building? And then this last one was, I'm in near the very top of this skyscraper. It seemed like I was in New York is what I feel like it was.
Oh, interesting.
And I was talking to some business people. I had this appointment with them. And I look, and they're like, you know, everybody's just in a job doing their thing. And I look out, and it's like, of course, it's a skyrise, so you can just see the entire city of downtown. And I start seeing these alien crafts coming through, flying around, just zapping everything and blowing things up. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, does anyone see this? But then people are like, what? I'm like, look out the window. And then people, it's just like in those movies too, where then everyone sees it and then everyone starts realizing and freaking out and everyone tries to run out all at the same time. And that's where I woke up. Good times.
That's so crazy. Well, you'll have to keep me in the know, right? The next time you have that dream and then like a little bit more develops, you're going to have to let me know what the next development is. Give me the deets, girl. Give me the deets. That is so crazy. Well, shoot, we have covered a whole heck of a lot about sleep talking and weird sleep stuff and kicking in your sleep and dreams, so much about dreams. We talked a lot about dreams, which is a lot of fun. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
I guess not. Hopefully you'll have better dreams.
I know, right? No more anxiety dreams.
I know. I want to have fun dreams. Let's have fun dreams. I think like you were saying, you talk to your husband before bed and then like you dream about that. So maybe like before you sleep, be like, I'm going to dream about, you know, whatever it is you want to dream about.
No, I've heard about that too, right? They're like people, you know, they like intentionally try and dream about something and then they do.
Oh, I love that. I want to do that.
I know. Totally. I think maybe the last thing that I do want to say is, any neurologists or individuals that do know more about this or like have an answer for some of the many questions that Olivia and I brought up during this episode, if you have an answer to it, feel free to send it our way. That would be fabulous. I would love to know more about these really cool and interesting topics. You can email me at theanatomynerdpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us both on Instagram. We're probably still going to be chatting about weird dreams on Instagram like the whole time. So find us on Instagram. Olivia is at @lastnerveart, and I am at @theanatomynerdpodcast. So find us, nerd out with us about dreams, all that fun stuff. Olivia, thank you so much for joining me and nerding out so hard with me. This was such a fun episode to do. I'm really glad you were down for doing it. It's really, really fun. You're the best.
You are.
Alrighty. And thank you, listeners, so much for listening. Very much so appreciate you. And until then, we'll say hasta luego.